Hello, this is Rabbi Mordechai Fleischer of the Denver Community Kollel, bringing you this week's Torah in the Parsha. There's a lot going on in this week's Parsha. One of the things that takes place is the Jewish people complain to Moshe and they want to eat meat. They're tired of eating man. Hashem turns to Moshe and says, I cannot deal with this nation anymore. It's too much for me to bear on my own. I need some help. And Hashem sends him 70 zekanim, 70 elders to be chosen from the tribes. And the Torah continues that there were two individuals who felt they were not worthy of being selected as these elders, even though they were part of the raffle, the girl, the lottery to select the elders, because if you do the math, there are 12 tribes, there would be 6 per tribe, would be 72. So there are two people who would not be selected. Moshe made a lottery, and these two people, Eldad and Medad, felt they were not worthy, and so they didn't even come to the lottery to be selected. However, they did indeed merit to receive prophecy, and they were indeed selected as being the elders. But what did they prophesy? They prophesied that Moshe would die in the desert, and Yehoshua would lead the Jewish people into the land of Israel. And this set off a chain of events where Yehoshua, Moshe's student, came running to Moshe to tell him that essentially there are two people prophesying that he's going to die. This is a rebellion against Moshe, who was essentially a king over the Jewish people, and Moshe responds and says, I wish that all the Jewish people would be able to prophesy. Why are you so worried about my honor? That's the basic incident. The question, one question among many that I want to focus on over here, is why did they prophesy this prophecy specifically at this point? Moshe had not yet committed the sin of hitting the rock that would eventually lead to his demise in the desert. And so why now already is this prophecy from Eldad and Medad that Moshe will die in the desert? Why is this already occurring now? And one approach is that, according to some opinions, Moshe's failure at the rock was not so much that he hit the rock, but that he criticized the Jewish people in overly harsh terms. The Jewish people put pressure on him and pushed back on him and just spoke in a fashion that lacked respect when they demanded water later on when the well of Miriam stopped giving water following Miriam's death. And Moshe's response, listen, you rebels, was looked at as being an inappropriate way to respond to the Jewish people. Moshe felt it was appropriate, clearly, because he spoke that way, but it was not deemed an appropriate way to speak. And there are sources that say that this was a new generation, and Moshe had to lead them differently. A new approach was required. And while in the desert, the Jewish people were held to perhaps a higher standard, and Moshe could speak to them in a more harsh tone. But at this point, Moshe needed to work with the people, so to speak, more, and to have them more involved in the process of their growth. And thus, speaking to them in this fashion was inappropriate for this new generation. Of course, this is not to cast any aspersions in any way, shape, or form on Moshe's leadership abilities. It's a reflection that Moshe's leadership was geared towards the needs of the Jewish people during their years in the desert. Here, already, Moshe is indicating signs of, shall we say, weakness, again, at Moshe's very high supernal level, of weakness in his leadership as Moshe comes to Hashem and says that, this is too much for me to bear, I cannot carry the Jewish people on my own. And so, the first cracks in Moshe's ability to lead the Jewish people, come what may, under any circumstances, begin to show over here already. And so, the seeds are sown right here for a potential for Moshe to officially be unable to lead the Jewish people further into the land of Israel. Moshe, as the leader, imposing his leadership on the Jewish people and telling them, this is what God wants, this is what you have to do, this is how you have to apply yourself, that works fine for the desert. When the Jewish people complain, and Moshe feels that he is unable to lead them in this state of where they are expressing their own will and their own desires, and they're not willing to just submit themselves to the will of God as expressed through Moshe, that is where Moshe says, I cannot lead them in this way. It's too hard for me to do it on my own. This is the beginning of the process of Moshe not being able to transition to the leadership mode necessary to lead the next generation into the land of Israel, when his leadership would have to be one where he is working more together with the people, where they are expressing their needs and their wants and their own approach to how they will serve Hashem more than they are doing so in the desert. So that process begins now. And while Moshe will continue to lead the Jewish people throughout the years in the desert, however, the seeds are sown for that eventual crisis to take place and for Moshe to be told by Hashem that he cannot lead the Jewish people into the desert. What does this mean for us? It means that different people have to be led differently. And that is true on an individual level. Different people have different needs in terms of being led. And it's certainly true on a generational level, on a communal level. Different communities, certainly different generations, have different needs in terms of their leaders and how their leaders should apply themselves to them and how they should lead them. If Moshe, the greatest of all prophets, the greatest, one of the greatest people to ever walk the face of the earth, if Moshe has to be flexible in his leadership modes when dealing with the Jewish people, how much more so do we have to be cognizant and pay close attention to how we relate to other people, especially when trying to provide an example and to provide leadership. I hope you enjoyed this message, and I wish you a wonderful Shabbos.